Welcome to Ancient Future Today's 18-Minute Enlightenment. Hi, it's Megan here, and welcome to another episode of 18-Minute Enlightenment. And we're excited to begin a new trilogy today. And the trilogy is on awareness. And this is key number 13. And the trilogy we're going to be following is about instinctive animal medicine, dancing with fear, and discernment and disengagement. So all three of these podcasts we'll look forward to as we move through the trilogy of awareness. When you have a chance, really encourage you to look at the sacred robe, number 13, which is an Inuit shaman, and he is sitting in a meditative position, and he is conjuring up all of his animal medicine: seal, salmon, whale, wolf, turtle, hawk, raven. So you can see all of the different animal medicines that he's conjuring up. And what I love about this robe is that the Inuit shaman is showing us the key to how to become aware of all that is around us. Because as we cultivate awareness every day, we awaken our senses, we awaken our intuition, and we awaken our animal instincts. And when you're attentive to everything that's happening to you and around you and within you, you can become a master of awareness. Some call this becoming a master of your animal energy or your animal medicine. So this Inuit shaman, as you look at him, can help you to honor and respect your instinctual awareness and will help you to engage consciously with the energies all around you. Now, one way to cultivate awareness is to observe the energy that other people are giving to you or placing onto you or throwing around the room if you're there. And to master awareness, it's really helpful to see the kind of energy that you yourself are projecting onto others. And this could be becoming aware of your anger or love or your sexual energy. And just notice how you use your own energy. Become aware of that. You know, when you don't want to have full awareness and you want to stay numb, your awareness instinct falls asleep and you can't respond effectively to your environment. And I think about what would happen to an animal if it lost its instinctive awareness. Would it survive? Well, not for very long. An animal is alert to its surroundings and to the dangers and the energies present in its immediate environment. And this protects the animal from harm and steers the animal in the direction of food and safety and warmth and everything that's going to help that animal to thrive. So this kind of animal awareness I'm talking about isn't the hyper-vigilant awareness that plagues us with stress. I'm speaking of our natural alertness that protects us from harm and helps us to thrive. Our animal awareness can keep us fully engaged in the energies of life and help us to dance gracefully with whatever is coming at us from the environment or from within ourselves. So we have much to talk about, and I've got the Grand Council here with me. And I'm very excited because today we're going to be talking about instinctive animal medicine. So welcome, Grand Council. We're so glad you're here with us today to dialogue about awareness wisdom. Welcome.
Thank you, the Megan. And how are you today?
I'm good. I feel really calm inside. And as I look at this robe, I'm excited to talk about instinctive animal awareness.
And would you please, for the listening audience, enumerate the animals that appear upon the robe?
Okay. At the very top, I'm wearing the robe too, so I'm looking at it. At the very top is bear, and under bear is wolf. And on the left sleeve, let's see, is a raven. And on the right sleeve is hawk and salmon. And then we've got turtle. And then on the left of the shaman is seal and whale. And let's see.
Napoli.
Yes. And then there's raven. There's raven on his suit. So I guess there's hawk and eagle. Anyway, there's many, many different animals on this robe.
And what animal is next to the shaman?
The closest one? Well, the one that's right on top of his head, almost like a headdress, is wolf.
And what is next to his body?
Raven is on his body. Let's see. Yeah, raven is right on his body. And then next to it is seal and whale.
So we ask everyone who is listening to imagine if you were one of those animals and to pick one of those animals for you to imagine being that animal, not looking at it from the outside, putting it on, being the bear, being the raven, being the whale. And imagining, using all of your imagination that you can muster, what it would be like to have at your disposal the abilities to hear, see, feel, in the case of the whale, to have the sonar capabilities, in the case of the raven, to be able to soar above the earth surface and to be able to see minute things moving under leaves. Did not mention fox, but fox can hear things moving under the ground, under the snow, in the burrows where its prey lay. So pick your animal. Some would call it a relationship that humans have with their imaginary animal. Some call totems. And in the indigenous populations, there is such a thing as animal medicine, still very alive and very well. And every one of you listening have had lifetimes where you had an animal totem that informed you, was inside of you, informing you about dangers in your environment, about opportunities in your environment, about resources, about cautions, about things that could delight you. Have you ever seen a fox cavort in a field with butterflies? Those sorts of impulses are within you, each of you and all of you. And these impulses and these instincts, this information, is constantly being tested by your environment. And what overrides it for most of you in your modern day are the messages of danger that you receive so regularly, are the messages of lack that permeate your cultures all over the world, that suggest that there is always something that is going wrong somehow, somewhere, with someone. And your mind processes all of this, and it overrides the natural balance of the animal medicine within you. And so you end up taking parts of that instinctive way of living and turning it into something that it is not designed to do, which is be stressed. If you notice animals, when they have a stress in their environments, let us say a deer reckons that there is somebody in the woods with her, and it is not a somebody with four legs that looks a lot like her, to someone quite different, that smells quite different, moves differently, sounds differently. And while she may not know whether they have an arrow or a gun, with intent to do her in. She can feel that there's something not quite right about her company in the forest. And given that her instincts are quite sharp, she will move away if possible, or freeze and pretend not to be where she is, following her animal instinct to preserve her life. When she feels she is safe again, she will move off and she will forget, she will shake off that stress of that moment. Deer have actually been studied quite carefully for that reason. Because what they do is they shake their bodies and they shake it all off. And then they move into the next moment with all of their instincts clearly and completely available to them for the next and the next moments. So they do not take fear as humans do. They take caution and they take stress of a possibility of something that is not to their advantage. They respond to it and then they shake it off. And then they move on. Care you to comment on any of this?
Well, as you're talking, I'm being the wolf, as that is my totem. So I was being the wolf listening to you. That was an interesting experience. What I felt was that awareness tethers me to the present moment as you're speaking, so that when I can shake off the stress, when I can do something with the adrenaline dump in my system, you know, and in order to not be overstressed, if I move into the present moment and can shake off the fear, shake off the fight and flight response, then I can realign with the present moment. And that helps me to stay aware, actually, of what's happening. Because if I go into a human fear response, I'm actually living in the past. I'm not actually as present as I need to be. So it was just very helpful to think about awareness as almost like a tethering me back to the present moment.
Perfect. And perfect that you were in the predator role of that possible scenario. Although we were painting a hunter in two legs, it could easily have been a hunter with four legs that was in the forest with the deer. Mm-hmm. And she would also have sensed through her instincts that she was not alone in the way that one can be alone with one's own kind, so to speak, you see. Mm-hmm. So the wolf, if the wolf misses a kill, let us say the deer does manage to escape for however she escapes, and that happens more often, by the way, than they get killed. Otherwise, there would be no deer, would there? And so the wolf, not being able to chase or bring down prey, is stressful for that wolf, because of course they hunt when they are hungry. They are not like, let us say, human animals who kill at will for whatever many different reasons, sometimes killing other humans for no reason at all, which is still a baffling thing to all of us, although it is part of the human exploration. And the wolf is hungry. The wolf is predator. The wolf is instinctively able to kill when necessary. So when he is not able to kill, what goes through his body? What have you intuited having it as your totem?
Well, it drives my instinctive hunger up a notch, even though I'm tired. It still drives me on to try again. Also to get my pack with me, so that we have, you know, a better chance. Yeah, it actually drives me forward.
Interesting, is it not? So what would you say, Megan, are the instincts in most humans these days that would be accessible to them? That's a hard question. We know that. We never ask you easy questions.
Well, sexuality is an instinct. I mean, I actually thought about the actual senses, like the sense of smell and taste, and you know, our sensual experience is part of our instinctive world. Our intuition, our hearing, our sniffing things out. You know, that's what I think of instincts.
The radar on is this a trustable situation or person or not?
Yeah, picking up the vibration of an atmosphere, a person, yeah, a situation. Yeah, so when I get into my animal instinctive awareness, I'm literally, if I walk into a room or I'm meeting someone for the first time, my instincts, I'm smelling them. I'm aware of sniffing out if I smell something or hear something on the physical plane, but also on the emotional plane.
So, how would you say that individuals who have allowed their instincts to be dulled or numbed over time for whatever reasons, how can they be more aware than they are? How do you help your clients, for example, if they're maybe they have had their stress levels peaked too often, and they are exhausted, or they are depressed, or they are suicidal, or they are homicidal, or they are whatever it might be, that the natural instinct for survival and for thrival has become distorted through constant or continual or excessive stresses. How is it that you help return them to natural instincts?
Well, just some really basic things, because I know we're actually running to the end of our session, but well, getting back into the instinctive one's own instinctive rhythm of rest and play, awake and sleep, conscious and unconscious. I mean, literally resting, but also returning to one's own rhythmic cycles is really, really important to return one to their instincts. Also, I want allow or invite people to play with their animal energy and to pick animal cards, to play with animal energy, to allow, as you were inviting us to awaken any kind of animal energy they want to. And that helps to restore. But I think the biggest thing is for people to start to connect with what are their own natural instinctive rhythms. And in order to do that, people need to allow their bodies to rest when they need to rest, to move when they need to move, to move through the cycle of life, death, and rebirth, because that gets people back on their own instinctive rhythm.
One more hint, assuming that we are at the end of our timing.
Yes.
That would be for whomever is listening, if you are interested in returning yourself to a more instinctive capability than you may have allowed yourself in the recent past. Pick an animal, any animal. We suggest it not be a domesticated animal because their behaviors have become so distorted over time that it is pretty much a reflection of their owners rather than of their own characteristics, most of the time, instinctively. What we would suggest is you pick a wild animal and one that is still roaming the face of your earth or the oceans of your planet, and that you study, that you watch videos of this animal, that you learn everything that is known about this animal, about its behaviors, its habitats, its diet, its rhythms, and that you allow yourself to imagine, use that incredible human imagination to go into what your understanding of being that animal might be, and allow yourself to move through various times of each of your days and nights in that animal medicine. And allow yourself to reconnect with that part of your own nature. Not go out and rip out the throats of deer, please. Please just experience what that energy is and allow it to inform you.
Thank you.
And until we have the pleasure and the honor of working in such interesting ways with all of you, again in this and so many other ways that we are with you always. We ask you to go about your days and your ways, honoring your instincts, being aware in all ways that you can be, and celebrating that you are alive. Go with our love and other blessings for now. Adieu.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Ancient Future Today's 18-Minute Enlightenment.